Hi, Steve. This is Audrey from WTJU.
Oh, hey.
All right. So I just have a few questions about your influence at WTJU and then TJU's influence on your art. So you can just dive right in. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. The first time you walked into WTJU, what led you there and what was that like?
Let's see. I did the radio show with my wife, but we had friends that were doing the radio show before we started there, and her name is Donna Bible, and so she would do a radio show from, like, I guess from 11 to 1 or 2, you know, on a weeknight, and we'd come by and hang out with her sometimes, and we got more and more into it, and then we ended up the year afterwards getting our own show. And, you know, that, so we were just kind of like hanging out there first, and then we loved it, and then we got our own gig.
What show was that?
Oh, I don't know if it had a name or anything. It was just 11 o'clock show, you know, rock and roll.
Yeah, the good stuff. So was there ever a quintessential moment or memory at WTJU when you were like, this is such a WTJU moment?
There's a lot of stuff I loved about it. I loved the Rock Marathon. That was super fun. We would, for 2 or 3 years, do a 70s pop marathon show where we play, you know, 70s sounds like a long time ago now, but back then it was just kind of crappy music that you actually liked that was like about 15 years old. And so it was kind of fun to play stuff that the rock shows wouldn't play. And it was really fun. It was really fun to play just like weird disco stuff that, you know, like guilty pleasures. You really ended up, hey, this stuff is kind of cool, but, you know, you're not really allowed to play it on the radio because it's not cool. And that was fun. And all the marathon shows were fun. And my wife and I started out having really late shows, you know, on a weeknight that would go from like, oh, I don't know, 1 to 5, something like that.
Wow.
And it would be so wild to, like, every 2 weeks to stay up that late. And, you know, by, like, 3 o'clock, you were so tired. And then the last hour, you remember all the songs that you wish you had played already. And so you'd get this burst of energy by the time the sun came up. So that's always a fun memory, that no matter how exhausted you became, you wanted a little bit more. You wanted to put a little bit more into the show.
Always. In your opinion, what do you think the legacy of WTJU is in Charlottesville and then outside of Charlottesville?
I really can't say what it is outside of Charlottesville, but I remember it's hard for anybody, you know, it sounds stupid, patronizing or something, but it's very hard for people who are younger to realize that you didn't have internet radio. So like places like TJU before, you know, you could get music anywhere all the time were truly amazing. The fact that we're playing, you know, this is like 25 years ago, 28 years ago, and we're playing all these singles that we'd get sent to the station from, you know, little bands from New York City and Brooklyn and things like that. And we'd be playing them at 3 o'clock in the morning, and to realize that, you know, the station didn't really go that much farther than, I don't know, Gordonsville or Crozet or something like that. And it's like, you know, we're playing all this avant-garde, new, modern music that was, you know, in a two-mile radius. It was just like pastures and cows and people sitting in their cabins. And I love that idea that you had to be in Charlottesville to hear this music. You know, and that's something people will never, you know, you just can't put yourself in that place, that you had to be someplace to be part of it. It wasn't just like, you know, internet music.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of it was very romantic.
Yeah. Your art is directly influenced by music. So did that start at TJU, or were you a music buff before you became an artist or to TJU? How did that all shake down?
I always loved music, but my art really was influenced by our time at TJU. I have a show right now in Manhattan at a gallery called Marlborough Contemporary, and that's in Chelsea. It's fun. It's where I'm actually 5 days a week, I'm in the gallery painting pictures for people.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's kind of insane because I still sell them very cheaply, you know, like you're buying an album. But this is a fancy gallery where all the other artwork is like $50,000, and then I'm in the side room selling my stuff. you know, like yard sale. And it's super fun, and people, you know, get confused, and people get really into it. But I think just being surrounded, you know, 25 years ago by thousands and thousands of albums, and, you know, you'd start pulling records out of the stacks and just like, you know, this has got to be good music, the way this cover looks, you know. And just being around so many images, and what I do, I mass produce my artwork. And so, you know, I painted tens of thousands of pictures and sell them or give them away at cheap prices. And so it's that kind of feeling, like if you are a band starting out and you, I don't know if even people have CDs anymore, but you used to drive around, you'd do show, and hopefully 15 people would show up, and you'd have your shoebox filled with the CDs that you'd want to sell at the show. And I always thought that was such a cool idea to, when you're starting off in a band, it's such hard work. And then you'd bring your, you know, you'd try to sell your CDs at the show too. So I started selling my paintings any place that I could, you know, restaurants or bars or music events. And that's kind of how it started. And I still do that.
Yeah, that's really neat. Was there an album in the music library that was, like, the best for painting, or one that was your favorite?
Now, I didn't go to UVA, but my wife did. And, you know, I don't have favorites, but I remember our radio show, we really tried to, you know, I'm, like, older than some of the people at the station, so I would try to connect older music from the 70s, like just strange, kind of freaky, you know, just weird, old 70s, almost psychedelic rock, but not really psychedelic, more like pre-grunge music. We would try to kind of link it up to what was happening with newer music. And that's the time where it's like when we're at the station, you get these, you know, people send you, record companies or bands, you know, they just send tons of albums to TJU. And that's when, you know, the first Nirvana albums were coming out, and, you know, like we're playing and it's like, hey, this band's pretty good. And so it's just so, it's fascinating the fact that the college music stations are the ones that first play this kind of music, and it, you know, ends up influencing the world. And it was like the few hundred college radio stations in the U.S. were the ones to first play Nirvana. And mm-hmm. it's just so interesting how it worked that way.
Definitely. Do you think there are other parallels between your art and WTJU as far as, like, why you keep making art, or why WTJU, you know, persists to stay alive today?
Well, people love radio stations. You can't just, you know, listen to songs off of iTunes. You love hearing people. You know, a human being is making choices, putting on these songs. It's not just like, you know, iPhone shuffle kind of thing, and, you know, and they talk about the music and things like that. And I think people will always love, always need and love radio stations to kind of sort through the trash versus the stuff that you want to listen to a bunch of times. But it's, these college radio stations are incredible, you know, because everybody's, you know, it's like people are undergraduate and it's the first time they really leave home for a long period of time. And you're at this station, and you're getting these albums or CDs or whatever you're getting from all over the country and all over the world, and you realize there's so many people that are like you. You know, you think, you might think you're unique or so, but you might, but there's so many, like, sort of groups or kind of subsects of people, and you kind of hook up with that, you know, with that group. You know, there's so many different, you know, people that love different kinds of music, and you start searching out the different places that play that kind of music and the different people that love that kind of music. And it's a way for you to first realize that the world just goes very, very far. It's not just your neighborhood or your, you know, or your town. I mean, maybe it's different now with the internet. People might not think locally like they used to, but it was an incredible feeling to get all this music from all over the world, from England and New Zealand and all over America, and see how people were like you or not like you. And it's always kind of mystery, and it was terrific.
Absolutely. What projects are you working on right now as far as...
I've got the show in Manhattan right now, and that goes on for a few more weeks. And then in September, I'm having a big show at Roanoke College. So if any of the listeners are around, they can come down and see that, and that'll be fun.
For sure. For people who can't make it out, how can they go about buying your art?
I have a website. Right now, I'm not selling online because I've got these big projects, but starting after September, in the middle of September, I will be selling online again. So they just, you know, they just find stevekeen.com.
All right.
And kind of place an order, and it's kind of a grab bag thing. I don't give people any choices. I just, they have to trust me, and I send them a bunch of paintings, and they send me a bunch of money. And
well, there you go. All right. Well, is there anything that I missed that you'd like to discuss, either about the station or your art or yourself?
No, I just I love the station. I know it's hard to find anybody who doesn't love the station, I think. And I'm glad it's still going on.
Yeah, me too. All righty. Well, thanks so much. I'm glad I got to talk to you, Steve.
Okay, great.